Mining production fell for a sixth consecutive month in April, contracting by 1.5% year on year as gold output plummeted by nearly 20% as the sector battled a damaging five-month strike by AMCU. In the meantime, platinum wage talks are coming up, and while the sector as a whole is under severe pressure, uncertainty around the mining charter persists, with the Minerals Council having gone to court to challenge some of its rules. Former mining boss and chair of the junior mining Indaba, Bernard Swanepoel, joins us in studio now with his perspective on where this industry is headed. Thanks so much, Bernard, for joining us this evening. So on the back of the junior mining Indaba last week, this week we've got disappointing mining production data coming through from April. And I was going to ask you, are you worried about where things are at? But I'm going to rephrase that. How worried are you about where things are at?
I think the numbers say it all. Gold is really in a very, very precarious position. I mean, for the first time in history, South Africa is no longer Africa's largest gold producer. Ghana overtook us. So we probably fell out of the top 10 of world gold producers. That's almost unthinkable, but it is the reality. Obviously, other parts of our mining industry is doing fine. I mean, the iron ore price is spectacular. I know coal industry has got their challenges, but, you know, that's going better. Manganese is a great commodity to be in. And platinum, thanks to palladium, is not so bad. So I think we have two stories. We have gold, and then we have the other commodity. What came out of the junior Indaba obviously was, but with the government being the custodian of the mineral rights, the government needs to care about exploration. As a country, we spend almost no money on exploration, and it's visible in gold, and it will soon catch up with us in the other commodities as well.
Are players looking to explore in an environment that's just so uncertain and at times volatile?
You know, I think today's editorial in the Business Day speaks about the mining charter uncertainty. There was never meant to be a mining charter 2, a mining charter 3. People say, but what is mining charter 4 and 5 going to say? So there's no regulatory certainty. Our dilemma when we come to upstream, to prospecting and exploration, we are actually in competition with the whole world for exploration dollars. Everywhere else in the world, or just about everywhere else in the world, the government accepts the responsibility to incentivize people to come and explore. Our government's never got their minds around that.
What's it going to take to get them thinking that way, do you think?
Well, I think this crisis, this mining deteriorating to the point where we are less than 8% of the GDP, yet we talk as if it's very important. I think this should make the government pay attention. You know, we're supposedly a developmental state. We supposedly have got a government who wants to intervene and interfere even. Mm-hmm. And yet where they own the mineral rights of the country or are the custodians of that on behalf of the people of the country, they seem to not think it's their responsibility to incentivize people. They have to do that.
Do you think that Minister Gwede Mantashe is the man for this job?
You know, we're all relieved to have a miner, you know, heading up the mining ministry. I think he took a very bad draft of Charter 3 and made it slightly more palatable. But unfortunately in our country, these conversations always play out between big government, big labor, big business, and then the juniors, you know, sort of as an afterthought, you know, get sort of accommodated. So some significant concessions were made in terms of BE requirements for prospecting permits and so on, and that certainly is an improved version. But ultimately, if we don't explore, like gold is demonstrating, if you don't explore today, you don't have new projects in 5 years and you don't have new mines in 10 years. We need to start exploring now to fix this problem in 10 years from now.
Focus, Bernard, has been for the longest while on policy, Mining Charter 3 now, as we've been talking about. How much of the blame to lack of investments needs to be directed that way versus structural issues that are plaguing, like energy supply, social concerns as far as labor is concerned, and then also an aversion to mechanization because of the implications it has on labor to tolerate any deep-level mining right now?
Yeah, deep-level mining is challenging, and yet that's our history. I mean, our platinum mines, our gold mines are the world's deepest, and it served our country well. But I think the trade-offs that the society has to make now between, say, scarce water, a country with an energy crisis, I mean, no security of electricity anymore, Those are the things that would make investors think twice. A five-month strike. And I mean, it's just not conceivable that that can happen.
Yeah.
We just had one on the Sibanye gold mine. And as you said in your introduction, the platinum industry is going into wage negotiation. So you can hardly blame directors sitting in a boardroom having to take a 20 billion rand investment decision where they may see revenue in 10 years from now to say, surely the rest of Africa looks more enticing right now.
For now, do we just have to come to terms with the fact that investment in this space is a long way off?
Yeah, I do think sinking new shafts is just not going to happen soon. We've got some lovely projects going. Venetia's expanding. You know, there's some money going into existing expansion projects. But to me, we almost owe it to the next generation to get exploration going. If we explore today, we will find the ore bodies that are mineable. We'll find ore bodies that can be mechanized from the word go. We'll find shallow ore bodies. We'll mine like the rest of the world. So we almost need to close up the legacy of deep level mining and reinvent ourselves as a modern mining destination.
In that reinvention, is consolidation just part of this mix and the name of the game?
Yeah, I mean, towards the end of a sector's life, I mean, Anglo selling their last gold mine, it's going to go to one of the two existing gold miners left in the country. It's inevitable, but that extends. It's a useful extension of the life of an old mine, but we need new mines.
Absolutely. Let's leave it there, Bernard. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, that the chair of the Junior Mining Indaba, Bernard Swanepoel.